Well, it's good to be with you all. Just a reminder, I'm also Pastor Mike Niebauer. I run an initiative called Heritage Mission, which helps churches start church services in nursing homes. And it's just been an honor to be with you all over these last 2 years to worship with you all. So, what are you looking forward to in the future? What are your hopes and your dreams and your fears? I ask this question today because we're in this season of Advent. And Advent is a time in which we are called to set our ultimate hope on the future coming of Jesus Christ. Advent is about waiting and anticipating and preparing for the arrival of Jesus. Now here's this interesting part about Advent, is that it's not just about waiting for the birth of Jesus at Christmas. It's also about waiting for Jesus' second coming, when he will come again to judge the living and the dead. And so, in essence, Advent is this interesting time in which we're called to prepare for the second coming of Jesus by re-experiencing and living out the first coming of Jesus. We prepare, we try to get into the shoes of Israel as they waited for Jesus' birth in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, so that we can be prepared when Jesus comes again. So Advent is not just about the past, but it's really about the future. And I want to suggest to you today that Advent is calling us to imagine the future so that we would change the way we live in the present. So it's about imagining the future so that we would change the way we live in the present. Now, in order to understand that, we've got to first understand this relationship between how we picture the future and how that affects the way we live in the present. So, asking you that question again, when you think about the future, what do you think about? Chances are, a bunch of pictures pop into your mind. Maybe if you're a kid, you picture maybe going to college. Maybe if you're a parent, you imagine your kid moving out of the house. For better or for worse, you know, I'll let you decide. Probably a mixture of both. Maybe you imagine finally taking a vacation or retiring, or maybe you imagine something difficult, right? The loss of a loved one or your own health declining. Here's, I think, something really interesting about how we imagine the future, is that when we imagine the future, all of those different pictures just kind of flood our imagination all at once. They kind of come to us as a kind of jumble of sort of important highlights of the future. You know, none of us really imagine the future in a kind of boring straight line. So when I said to you, you know, what do you imagine in the future? You probably didn't think, well, a week from today, I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna brush my teeth, I'm gonna get some coffee, I'm gonna go to work. You don't think like that. Instead, you just kind of take the greatest hits of your future, and it all just kind of comes to you at once. And it does that because those important images of the future, those are the ones that really affect the way that you live in the present. It's the images that capture your imagination that really change the way you live in the present. You know, this happens all throughout our life. You know, for any of you who grew up maybe playing a sport or learning an instrument, you know that if you imagine yourself excelling, you'll actually practice harder. So if you want to learn baseball, you have to picture yourself playing in the World Series. You're going to practice better. If you want to learn an instrument, an image of you playing in the National Symphony Orchestra has to capture your imagination. if you're going to practice hard. I learned this when I played jazz music in high school. In middle school, I just kind of goofed off the whole time. I wasn't very good at it. I messed up a lot. And it was just kind of a fun extracurricular activity. But then one day I fell in love with jazz music, and in my imagination kind of took over. I pictured myself playing bass like Charles Mingus, or playing in Miles Davis's second quintet. And when I did, I practiced a lot harder, and I got a lot better. This kind of thing happens all throughout our life. You imagine something in the future, and if it captures your imagination, you change the way you live to try to bring that future into reality. So recently, I, for the first time ever, I actually thought about retirement and what that would look like. And that made me join a gym because I want to actually be around to enjoy that. I started thinking about my kids going to college, and so you open up a 529 account. All throughout our life, those pictures of the future, they change the way we live in the present. Now, God gives us Advent because he wants one set of images to capture our imagination more than anything else. And that are images of the second coming of Christ. He wants those pictures to capture our hearts and minds, so that we would change the way we live for God in the present. So Advent, we get two different sets of readings that are meant to help us do this. We always read from Isaiah, because Isaiah is the book of pictures. It's a book of images. And then we read stories about John the Baptist, because John the Baptist is the one who's trying to get us to say, okay, here are the pictures, now change the way you're living in anticipation of that future becoming a reality. So Isaiah is a vision. It's a book ultimately about images and visions of Jesus. The early Christians actually called it the fifth gospel. It's just all about Jesus. But it comes to you in a jumble. Some of the pictures are of Jesus' birth, some are about his death, some are about his resurrection, some are about his second coming, and they're all there kind of all at once, just like pictures in our mind. That's why it can be difficult for us to read Isaiah, because you're not supposed to read it kind of linearly. You're just supposed to let these images sort of wash over you and capture your imagination. And then, in light of those images, change. Act differently. So, what kind of images do we see today in Isaiah, and how does John the Baptist call us to change in light of those images? Well, first, we get a lot of images of judgment. That's probably not what you typically think of the Advent and Christmas season, right? Typically, you have images of chocolate Advent calendars, eggnog, which is, I think it's just saturated fat and nutmeg blended together, right? You get Mariah Carey, you got all of these things, right? But here Isaiah says, well, this Advent season, it's probably more about the eternal death of the wicked and the unquenchable fire of God's judgment. Try putting those on your Christmas cards this year, right? You see, when Jesus comes again, he's going to first pronounce a final judgment over all sin, evil, and death. As Isaiah says today, he will strike the earth with his rod, meting out punishment on the wicked. And John the Baptist says he will come with unquenchable fire, separating the wheat from the chaff, the righteous from the wicked. And Isaiah today, it speaks to the depth of Jesus' judgment when he returns. There's this great line here. It says, he will not judge by what he sees or hears. What he means by that is that Jesus, when he comes again, will judge the human heart. He is the only one capable of truly judging, because only he sees into our souls. See, when Jesus comes again, every thought, word, and deed in our entire life will be laid bare before him. Everything we've ever thought, everything we've ever said, everything we've ever done will be put forth in a moment in front of Jesus Christ. And there'll be judgment. Now, we're called today to have these images of judgment capture our imaginations, to take hold in us. We're supposed to, in a sense, you know, feel that coming judgment of Christ. To me, what I think this feels like is like getting in trouble when you're a kid. You ever have those moments where your parents catch you doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, and they kind of surprise you, and you just hear your voice? For me, it's my dad yelling my name. It's like the most terrifying thing in the world. I get this, like, it's like the bottom of my stomach is on fire. You know, that deep, sharp pain of judgment. That is the feeling of being caught in sin and disobedience. The hard thing is that Jesus is going to come again at an unexpected hour. He might surprise us when he returns. And how is he going to find us? What are we going to be doing if Jesus came back at an unexpected moment? Am I going to be on my third hour of television on the couch, kind of doom scrolling with my left hand and having a nacho in my right hand? Or am I going to be at prayer? Am I going to be caring for my family, loving my neighbor? What's going to be going on in our minds when Jesus returns? Are we going to be daydreaming about success or wealth or leisure? Or are we going to be praising him and giving thanks for what he has given us and blessed us with? Now, John the Baptist, he arrives in the Gospels to remind us to take the second coming of Jesus seriously, to take his judgment seriously. For that, he calls people out into the wilderness, and that's for a main reason. The wilderness is the place of temptation, and it's the place of failure. It's where the Israelites failed to be faithful to God. And so he takes them out in the wilderness to remind them of their need to repent. And so John the Baptist takes people out and he invites them to have a baptism of repentance in anticipation of that coming judgment of Christ. And so we too are called in this season of Advent to awaken our hearts to the need for repentance, to feel that burning judgment in our gut, and that lead us to sincere repentance. And we need that reminder every year. We get it reminded in the church year in Advent and Lent. But we need that reminder because it's really easy to just kind of go through the motions when we confess. A lot of us get in the habits of just never confessing our sins, or when we do, we just kind of go through the motions. So, you know, we read confession here at church. If you do morning or evening prayer in the prayer book, you've got confession sort of baked in to your routines. But it's really easy to just kind of gloss over that from time to time. Advent is a time in which we take that repentance seriously. Is there some little nagging sin that we haven't taken to the Lord? Is there some serious sin that we need to come clean with? We repent in this Advent season in anticipation of Jesus' judgment. Because we know, if we believe and trust in Jesus, his judgment won't be the final word in our life. That when we confess now, we receive a taste of Jesus' eternal mercy. And know that at the end of the day, his mercy will reign supreme in our life. So in Advent, we're given these images of judgment. That's meant to prompt us to repentance. But luckily for us, right, that's not the whole story. Jesus doesn't come just to judge and be done. He judges for a reason. Because he wants to usher all faithful Christians onto Mount Zion, where they will experience everlasting peace. As Mike mentioned last week, Isaiah in particular in the book of Revelation, it speaks of our eternal life with God as taking place on a mountain, Mount Zion. And Isaiah gives us all these images of what life on Mount Zion looks like. And he wants those images to capture our imagination. And so the reason Jesus judges is that he wants to prepare Mount Zion for us as a place free of sin and conflict. It's a great image today, one of my favorite ones here. Did you catch it in Isaiah? There's this infant who puts his hand over the adder's den. It's supposed to be a sign that Jesus, even as an infant, has the power to conquer Satan. And so it's supposed to be this image, this reminder, that there'll be no serpents, there'll be no Satan on Mount Zion. It'll be a place free of evil and free of temptation. But the preeminent images that we're given today regarding our life on Mount Zion are images of peace. Bears hanging out with calves, lions laying down with lambs. These are supposed to be signs of an end to animosity and conflict, and signs of eternal peace. Lions lying down with lambs is a great image of that, right? A lion is anxious about what it wants. It wants food. The lamb is anxious about what it's going to lose. It's life because of the lion. It's a great sign of really all of our anxieties in life. We're anxious over what we want that we don't have, and we're anxious over what we have, but that what we might lose. And so here on Mount Zion, there's no anxiety. The lion is lying down with the lamb. There is no anxiety over what we want. There's no anxiety over what we will lose. So our eternal life on Mount Zion will be one of peace, free of anxiety. And that's really good news, because a lot of our life seems to be filled with worry and anxiety. See, all those images, if I asked you to think about those images, those things you're looking forward to in life, those images are uncertain, right? They're filled with things that might not happen. We might not get that promotion. We might not have a lot of success in life. We might not live long enough to take that vacation. There's all those uncertainties in the future that are not completely in our control. But the good news today is that God has already given us these images of our ultimate future, and they're certain in Jesus Christ. We have the great picture of our end. It's given to us, and we don't have to earn it. We don't have to make it happen. Jesus will come and usher it in. So the good news for us today is that we have given to us this picture of everlasting peace, a time free of anxiety and worry. And we can let these images capture our imaginations. And I think when they do, I think they'll really help us not to worry in the present. Maybe you all have something similar to me. Have you ever had, you look back in your life, you have times where you were really anxious about something, and then you look back on it and you think that was really silly that you were anxious about it? I can think of so many things in my life, right? I was anxious about getting into the right college, right? I really wanted to get into Duke, and I didn't get in. I got into Northwestern. It's better anyways. But so much anxiety senior year. Where am I going to go? All these different things. And now it's like, this is silly. I remember getting into political fights in college, right? Over like John Kerry versus George W. Bush. It seems so quaint now, right? So much worry and animosity. I was a musician in my 20s in Chicago, and you just long to play at the best clubs in Chicago. It's this matter of prestige. And so we'd always look forward to getting to play at the Double Door. And now the Double Door is like a banana republic. You know, no one even knows what it is. Here is the thing, though. In light of Mount Zion, all of our anxieties today will appear actually kind of quaint, maybe even a little silly. Of course, we still have to struggle through the world, and of course, we have real issues that we've got to face and we have to challenge. But we can get through anything in life when we have that divine perspective of our heavenly home. We know that we're not going to get everything we want in life. But we know we're going to get everything we need on Mount Zion. So we don't have to worry about losing out on things. We know that eventually we're going to lose a lot of things in life. We're going to lose friends, loved ones, eventually our own life. But we know that there's eternal life waiting for us on Mount Zion. So we don't have to be worried about losing anything in this world. You know, John the Baptist today, he wants these images to affect a change on our life. And one of the great lines he quotes from Isaiah is, he says, make a straight path for Jesus. He says, Jesus is going to come again to usher in everlasting peace. How can we clear out a space, get through some of the anxiety and clutter in our life, to just wait in peaceful hope for that return? So Advent, I think, is a great time to just kind of look at those areas of our life that are unsettling us, that are making us anxious, and just offer them up to Jesus. Let these pictures of Mount Zion overtake our anxieties in the present, so that we might wait in joyful hope for our eternal peace on Mount Zion. So this Advent season, let all of these images of the future coming of Christ capture your imagination. Jesus is going to come again to judge the living and the dead, and to usher in eternal and everlasting peace. Let those images of fire prompt you to repentance, to take seriously the sin in your life, and to experience God's mercy here and now. And let also these images of peace, of lions laying down with lambs, heal the anxiety in your heart. Your future is already secure in Christ. So let's live freely in the present. Thanks be to God. Amen.